Yuma, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph, 7:1. So we're wrapping up the Avod LeKohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and here we're going to talk about the Kriyas HaTorah. Now, the Kriyas HaTorah will parallel the Kriyas HaTorah we have today in our shuls. The Kohen Gadol will be doing the Kriya. This is not technically one of the Avodos of Yom Kippurim, in as much as it's not stipulated by the Psukim, and therefore the Mishnah will begin by considering what the Kohen must wear when he does the Kriyas HaTorah. If it were an actual specific avoda of Yom Kippurim, Midoraisa, he'd have to wear his special white vestments. But that isn't the case. And therefore the Mishnah says, Bolo Kohen Gadol Likros. So now the Kohen Gadol comes from the Azara to the Ezras Nashim, the so-called women section of the temple complex. Imratza Likros Bebigde Butz Kore. He has to read the Kriyas HaTorah, and if he wants to do it reading his fine white linen vestments that he's been wearing throughout this special procedures with the Katoris and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, etc., he's welcome to do so. The Mishnah here refers to it as butz, but it's that those plain white linen clothing. Vimlo, if he does want to wear those special clothes, then Kora Be'itztilis, Lavan Mishalo, he can do the Kriyas HaTorah actually wearing anything he wants. The Mishnah specifies the wearing like a white robe that he owns, his private white robe. The truth is, there's nothing special about that white robe. He can wear anything he wants, but the custom was for elders and chashu people to wear white robes on Yom Kippurim, and therefore that would be the appropriate thing for him to wear if he wants to wear his own clothing. There is a big dion on the issue of me'ila, of misappropriation of the Kohanim clothing, and the basic point of the Mishnah here is that if he wants to wear those white clothes when he's doing the Kriyas HaTorah, it's not in the realm of Mila, because there is no Mila for him in this regard, as much as he's allowed to rest and even sleep if he wants to in this special Big Day Lavan, because he's a human being and the Torah wasn't given to Malachim, the way to be sort of magically in and out of his clothing at the snap of a finger, and therefore there's general leniency that he can do what he has to do over here and still continue to wear those special white clothing. Now, Chazan HaKnesses, Notel Sefer Torah, the Chazan of the Knesses is like the shul, the base of Knesses, the shul that exists, the synagogue that existed on the Temple Mount, just outside of the Temple complex, but they're on the Temple Mount. And the person who's in charge of getting everything done is called the Chazan. In modern parlance, the Chazan is the one specifically who's doing like the davening, like the, you know, the cantor. But in the time of the Mishnah here, the word chazan refers to whoever has to see after what needs to get done. The word chazan from the word like chose lechazot, which is to see. He sees what has to get done, he does it. So he, notel sefer Torah, he's the one who takes the sefer Torah, the nosen l'rosh haKnesses, and he hands it over to the head of the shul. The head of the shul, Rosh haKnesses, what we would call maybe a gabbai today. He's in charge of making sure that shul functions. He's in charge of making the decisions, who does what and how it should be done. Now, interestingly enough, Rashi learns elsewhere, but that what we're talking about over here is the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote. Of course, by Sheni's time, that wouldn't be applicable, in as much as it was at best hidden inside of the Aron, which is hidden away. But in any case, so the Sefer Torah is handed over from the Chazan to the Rosh Knesses. For Rosh Knesses, Nosan L'Sagan. The Rosh Knesses then hands over the Sefer Torah to the Sagan, Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol's deputy at his right-hand man. And then the Sagan knows the Kohen Gadol. The Sagan hands over the Sefer Torah to the Kohen Gadol himself. So the reason why we're having this sort of like series of handoffs is to make the point of the, emphasize the covet of the Kohen Gadol and sort of indicate that there's like many levels of the hierarchy upon which he sits at the very top. Now, HaKohen Gadol Omed, the Kohen Gadol has to stand to receive the Torah, of course. He's showing the Chashivus of the Torah. Umekabel, he receives it. The Gemara makes a diuk here which suggests that he was sitting. That's why he stood. And there's a question, you can't sit in the Beis HaMikdash unless you're a king from the line of David HaMelech. So the Gemara answers, yeah, because we're talking about in the Ezra's Nashim, where that doesn't apply. So Vikora Omed, he'll now read the applicable readings from the Sefer Torah, but he does it standing up, as we do today, of course, also reading the Sefer Torah standing for cover for the Torah. Vikora, and what does he read? The first thing he reads is Acharemos. Acharemos is Vayikra Tezayin, Vayikra 16, and that's, we've been quoting Psukim from Vayikra Tezayin throughout the whole Masechta so far. So he reads that first. And then after that, when he finishes, he reads V'ach B'asor L'chodesh Shvi. He also reads the Parsha that's in Vayikra 23, talking about the prohibition of doing malacha on Yom Kippurim, as well as the, you know, the requirements to afflict oneself, the fasting, etc., tshuva. So that is the second thing he reads. Now, the truth is, these two parshios, one's in Vayikra Tezayin 16, and one's in Vayikra 23, Chav Gimel, so there's a gap between them, and he has to kind of rush from Tezayin to Chav Gimel by rolling the Sefer Torah quickly, because it seems there was a very big hakpada, issue. There's a big issue that people shouldn't sit around waiting for him. So the way it worked is there was a meturgamon, a translator, and as the Kohen Gadol would do his laning, there would be after each verse, there would be a translation provided in the Aramaic, because that was the vernacular of the day, essentially reading out what we call the unkelus, Targum unkelus, so someone would say that so people could understand the words of the psukim. That, of course, is no longer the custom, certainly since Aramaic no longer is understood by people, so there's no point in it. Worth noting is that the Yemenite communities still do this. They do it, however, not with unkelus in Aramaic, but rather with Rav Sadia Gaon's translation of the Chumash into Arabic. So it's still done like that. In any case, while the Meturgam, the translator, is translating the last section of it that the Kohen Gadol reads, so then the Kohen Gadol will quickly roll the Sefer Torah to the next section, the Ach Ba'asar section. He reads that as well, and then he has to read something else. But the something else he has to read, as we'll see in a moment, is in Bamidbar, Bamidbar Chavtes, Uva Asar L'Chodesh HaShvi, which is talking about the Musaf offering, and since he won't be able to get there in time also, so therefore he won't do any attempt, he won't make an attempt to get there. Instead, he will go a little Sefer Torah, he'll roll the Sefer Torah up, umenicho b'cheko, he'll then put it under his arm. The word chek is impossible to translate into English. It means any kind of like fold that exists based on the shape of one's body. So sometimes chek is referred to, translated as bosom or as lap. So here it's the fold under his arm. So he puts it under his arm to keep it there. Va'omer, and he'll announce, Yosir mamasha karasi lefneichem kasuv kan. He says, you should know there's a lot more written in the Sefer Torah than I read to you now. That's important because the next thing he's going to read Ba'al Peh. He's going to read it from memory. And that being the case, we don't people think that the Sefer Torah is missing something and so on. So therefore, he says there's more here, but he doesn't read it, so they shouldn't have to wait. And then, uva asor, meaning uva asor l'chodesh hashvi, which is a shebechumash hapikudim, which is in what is called in the Mishnah chumash hapikudim, what we call chumash b'midbar, the fourth of the five books. Korah al peh, he reads that from memory. Umavarach aleh shmona brachos. When he finishes reading the Kriya about Uva Asr L'Chodesh HaShvi, about Musaf, so then he'll recite a total of 8 brachas afterwards. Now, in a second we'll list what they are. Just note that if you actually count them, there'll be 9, and therefore one of them is removed. I'll explain in a moment. So the Mishnah starts out by saying, what are those Mevarach Aleh Shmona brachos? He makes these 8 blessings after the Kriya Satorah. What are those 8 blessings? So first is Al HaTorah. He'll make the bracha on the Torah itself. One that ends Asher Nasalano Torah Emes, like we read. Then Val HaAvoda. Secondly, says in the Avoda, this is really what we have in our Shmona Esrei as Ritzei, on that the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash should be accepted. Val HaHoda. The third is Hoda. That's what analog to what we have in our Shmona Esrei of Modim, the Thanksgiving blessing. Then the fourth is Va'al Mechilas HaAvon, on the forgiving of sin. That's like our Slach Lanu of Shmona Esrei. Then the fifth is Va'al HaMikdash Bifnei Atzmo. He makes a special blessing all to itself about the Beis HaMikdash, that the Shechina should dwell there. Va'al Yisrael Bifnei Atzman. Then he makes another one on the, this is number 6, on the benefit, for the benefit of Klal Yisrael in general, that they should be saved from their enemies, have Yeshua. Then this one over here, Va'al Yushalem Bifnei Atzma, is probably doesn't belong. Many Gersers don't have it. You probably have inside of your Mishnah, but many Rishonim or most didn't have it. So that would be Val Yerushalayim b'fnei atzman. We mean a blessing about Jerusalem all to itself. And then Val HaKohanim b'fnei atzman, a special bracha for the Kohanim, that they should be blessed and that their avodah should be accepted by Hashem. And finally, Val Sha'ar HaTfila, and then on any other prayers, this is something analogous to our Shomea Tefila bracha, where the Kohen Gadol can insert whatever's extra tefillas are necessary for Klal Yisrael, appropriate for that time and that place as need be.